All right, hey friends, it's Larry Herbeck's Box Lives, Major Nelson. This is show number 224, but not really. I'll tell you about that later. I'm recording this for May 6th, 2007, Sunday. And back for an encore performance is E.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, E. We're recording this, and we were just talking. We just went to lunch before we realized we really don't have a show. Or I don't have a show, and you decided to sit in and maybe salvage something here.
No, but on the other hand, someone did just IM me and said they might get arrested. Ha ha. I could dig into that, but I'll do that after the show.
Yeah, let's not do that. So, what do I have today? I got an interview with Billy Mitchell. Do you know who Billy Mitchell is?
I do not know who Billy Mitchell is.
Billy Mitchell.
Oh, yes, I do know who Billy Mitchell is.
Okay. He is the first person to achieve a perfect Pac-Man score. And that happened in 1999. Do you know what the perfect Pac-Man score is?
I do not, but as someone who used to play a lot of Pac-Man, I can attest to just how incredibly difficult that had been.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to tell you, so you'll have to listen to the interview. He will tell you in the interview.
Okay.
So, Billy Mitchell's stopping by. He's going to talk about his Pac-Man stories, and he's got quite a few of them. And obviously, we can talk about the Pac-Man World Championship, which is happening now.
Yes.
Are you going to enter?
I'm not going to enter. I suspect I'm not eligible.
Yeah, you're probably
anyways,
not eligible.
But I did throw Pac-Man out of the server room earlier this week. So
yeah, let's talk about those videos.
Those were fun to make, actually.
So for those people that haven't seen them, we did the PR guys came up with the idea of shooting some videos, and they got the official Pac-Man suit in.
Which was really amusing, actually, to see. Are we allowed to say who was in the Pac-Man suit?
No, I don't think so.
We can't out him?
Yeah, I don't think we can out him or her.
Okay. But it was really funny.
Watch them and figure out if you can tell if it's a him or a her. It's kind of like Star Wars. Do you know the Star Wars story?
No.
I don't know if this is urban legend, but I remember hearing this once that all the stormtroopers, at least in the first one, I don't know the first one from 1977. I don't know if the other ones were, but they were all women.
Really?
Yeah, you can tell by the way they run.
Okay, I hadn't heard that, but I'd just like to point out that only in Star Wars do you have to point out that the first one means the one in 1977, not the one called Episode One,
right,
that came out decades later.
So that's anyway. Getting back to it, so watch the Pac-Man videos and see if you can figure it out. Maybe it's Trixie, maybe it's not.
That would, since Trixie's in one of the videos with Pac-Man, that would have been quite the accomplishment.
Right. Well, they never appeared together, did they?
Yeah, I think. Well, maybe no. There was one where she interviewed Pac-Man.
So we shot these interviews last week, and they've put them out on the web. This thing called the web. I'm gonna actually get them all and put them in my feed, so you'll be able to watch them. And you and I are in one of them.
Yes, mm-hmm. We guest starred.
So those were fun to do for the Pac-Man World Championship coming up. It's happening now, but the actual event is in June.
Yeah, it's like a week of competition, I think.
Yeah, I can't figure it out. I just know I'm going to New York again. And we're going to New York again. A lot of people have emailed me asking if we can go to the Barcade.
You're going to New York.
You're going to New York.
I don't get to go to
New York. Why don't you go?
I have work to do.
Yeah, take some time off. If you want E to come to New York, send him a message.
Yes, and also if you could send some money to my budget to pay for the trip to New York, that'd be awesome.
All right. So do we have anything else to add about the Pac-Man World Championship?
Waka, waka, waka.
Oh, come on. That's the easy one.
Well, that's all I had to add.
What else happened this week? Oh, actually, come to think of it, we had a lot going on this week. There was a the arcade stuff dropped, which was Centipede and Millipede and
Catan.
Catan.
Woohoo!
Which I played right after it released with Tycho from Penny Arcade, who's a huge Catan fan.
The timing was actually great because I couldn't sleep Wednesday night, and I got like an hour and a half between like midnight and 1:30, and then woke wide awake. And it's like, what can I do? Ooh, Catan's out. That's a great game.
It's kind of, you have to play it. You know, I hadn't played it before, and you told me to go through the tutorial, which I did, and it's extremely valuable. What amazes me is when you're playing it, all the different buttons, what they do, you know, to kind of light up and show you what things are on the board.
Yes. Now, I should clarify that. The the control scheme is not at all complicated.
No.
It's just that they're using, like, the triggers and the shoulder buttons to show you additional menus of information.
Right.
So you don't have to use
it. You can quickly go to stuff instead of when you're in the trade screen, you can go, how much is that thing again? I hit a button and it shows you.
Right.
It's kind of like a little cheat sheet.
It's a great game. It's amazing how deep it is. You look at it and it's like, well, there's not that many, you know, areas on the map. And this game, how complicated could this game be? It's very deep. The strategies, there's a lot to it.
And the secret, or that what Tycho showed me when I was playing, is he switched it over to the to a different skin.
I need to try that. I went right in and played it.
I did that too, and then he's like, no, you got to switch it. And you can switch it in mid-game. And it's funny because there's the robber, and the robber does this little dance when he robs, and it's pretty funny.
I need to check that out. I know Friday's Penny Arcade, they were talking about Catan.
Right.
And they're actually pretty funny. But yeah, great game. Absolutely try it out. Anyone who played the Settlers of Catan board game, played the downloadable version on MSN Games, you've got to get this.
Have you downloaded Centipede or Millipede?
No, I haven't actually. I need to.
I need to go ahead and download this as well. Those are classics.
Yeah, that's the kind of game that it's just, it's fun because, hey, I used to play it a ton, and also, those are the kind of games I want my son to play.
Right.
Because I want him to kind of understand the history of the industry, and that honestly, I'm trying to teach him that it's not all about, you know, the graphics and things like that. It's about having fun.
Right.
And it's amazing to watch him play some of these older games, like Cyberball.
Does he get bored with it?
No, he'll play Cyberball for hours. I have to pull him away, which I love seeing that because it means that he's appreciating the fact that, hey, you know, the graphics kind of suck. The controls aren't very complicated, but it's really fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. At the end of the day, it's pretty fun. So that came out, Catan, Millipede and Centipede, which is the Peed Pack.
Wow. The many-legged pack.
The multi-leg pack. Let's see what else. Oh, well, you know what happened on Thursday was the Gears of War multiplayer.
The map packs hit.
Yep, the Hidden Fronts map pack, which you've played it.
Four maps, 800 points. I haven't.
No, wait a minute, 800 points. We want it for free.
Yeah. Free's great.
I'm just telling you what people are saying.
I know what people are saying. I do find this amusing, though. A lot of people may not remember this. Well, your listeners probably do.
Yeah.
A year ago, Epic was bragging about how they cost us $1 billion.
I interviewed Mark, and that's what he said. Remember when I was up in Canada? I remember that.
Yep. So for the people who don't know what I'm talking about, when the Xbox 360 was in the design phase, there were a lot of decisions that had to be made around, you know, how big's the hard drive, how much
memory is in
the
box. You're going to standardize it so you could tell developers, this is what it is.
Right. And one of the things that got decided fairly late in the game was, would the console have 256 megs of memory or 512 megs of memory? And it's a big difference because you're talking about X number of dollars multiplied over tens of millions of consoles. So the number that got thrown out is, that decision was a $1 billion decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I just find it amusing that on the one hand, Epic's saying, ha ha, we cost you $1 billion. And on the other hand, they're saying, but these should be free.
They love spending other people's money.
It's
always easy to spend other people's money.
It's much easier when it's other people's money.
Right.
But personally, as a gamer, if you like Gears, if you're playing it online, I think the equivalent of $10 is totally worth it. Four new maps,
yeah.
And they're good, the ones I've played.
And they add in that dynamic with the Krill.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
I want to spend some time with that.
That's kind of cool.
So I suspect this weekend I will be playing a fair amount of Gears with my friends as we try to figure out the strategies around the new maps.
I got to see if Ryan's going to play it. Ryan from Engadget, you know, I have him on my friends list.
Right.
Ryan Block, I always see you play that. He always pops in. I'm not going to tell you what his gamer tag is. I don't want to out him. But he's always playing Gears. He loves Gears, so I'm sure he'll be playing it all weekend. Speaking of Engadget, I haven't been over there today. Did you go over there today? It's kind of cool.
I looked at it this morning. It's part of my morning. You know, I zip through a couple RSS feeds and see if anything happened that I really need to know about. There was the latest Halo 3 leak. That's probably in there. So
Yes, there was.
People who leak things just suck.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else there is to say about that.
I don't really know what else I could say about that except... It sucks. Let's see. Yeah, there's really not much going on here. All right, we're continuing on. Where were we? We totally got sidetracked.
Maps.
Oh, we talked about stuff that's coming out this week. The map, the Gears of War.
That's right.
The
arcade releases, the Gears of War map packs. There were some new gamer pictures. Another set of RVB gamer pictures went up. I grabbed those.
Yep, I put those up.
What else came out this
week? You want to talk about your Raymans?
Oh,
you've been playing Rayman.
I've been playing a lot of Rayman.
On the Xbox 360, not the Wii version. We've played both.
Right. I got the Wii version, you know, back at launch and played that for a while. Fun game. And then got the 360 version fairly recently. I finished story mode Wednesday night, I think it was.
Right.
Probably like 9, 10, 11 o'clock, something like that. It's a long haul to get through story mode in that game. I was really surprised, but here I am, like 8 achievements, 500 gamer score later. I was actually really surprised. I went up to mygamercard.net to see, you know, how many people
are... What are you doing playing Crystal Quest? I'm just looking at your gamer card.
I'll get back to that in a sec.
Okay.
You know what it is. I know why I'm playing Crystal Quest. My girlfriend's in my office right now playing on my box.
Okay.
That she's playing Crystal Quest. I haven't played Crystal Quest.
And I bet you would have liked to be in her office. Never mind.
She already hit you once this morning.
I know she did. A comment I made on last week's show.
Yeah, for everyone who remembers the laundry comment.
It was the laundry comment or the hair comment?
It was the laundry comment. And right. I told you you were going to get smacked. And this morning she went off on you pretty good. So
I got nothing. It's okay. She could do that. It's more fun irritating the hell out of her.
Oh, I'm well aware that you're playing this game with her, but one of these days she's going to draw a significant amount of blood and you're going to be sorry.
Whatever. I grew up with two sisters, so I know what it's like.
Okay.
I get whacked around.
Anyways, Rayman.
Yep.
So it took me, it was probably 3 good nights of a couple hours each.
How do I have more achievements on you than in Gears? That's wrong.
Because
I'm sorry, I'm just going through. I'm doing compare mode right now.
That's fine. But I played Gears way before you did, and you came back to it.
Right.
I've been playing private multiplayer matches mostly.
Right.
So like, I never went back and finished doing co-op on Insane. I had a friend come down from Vancouver, and we were going to spend the weekend. Actually, last Thanksgiving weekend,
mm-hmm.
we were going to spend the long Thanksgiving holiday playing through Insane mode on co-op. And I was going to get the Insane achievements, the Dom achievements, all that. We were going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the weekend that I worked all weekend because of a certain product launch.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never gone back to the single player since then. I've been busy.
Right.
Usually, you know, the regular group that I play with, Gears is one of the games we'll play. But we're playing 4-on-4, you know, 4 friends against 4 friends. There's no achievements for that.
Right.
So if they had the equivalent of Bungie.net where you could go up and see my game history... I'm sure I'm way ahead of you there.
Right.
But gamer score, you know, I've got, what, a 3,000 game, 3,000 point lead?
Yeah, you're about 3K ahead of me.
Yeah. So
that's because I travel so much.
Uh-huh.
All right. We're talking about Rayman. You want to continue on that?
Not sure what's left. Fun game, though. I'm at the point now where I need to go back into score mode, which is kind of the party mode, the multiplayer, just go in and play the games again for a high score. And there's more achievements in there. I haven't decided if I'm going to try and get them.
Do you want to talk about your favorite game this week?
Which favorite game
this
week? I did play EDF. I didn't. EDF being Earth Defense Force 2017. I didn't play it a lot. I played it last night for maybe a half hour. Actually, you know what? I think EDF was the very first game I played on my Elite, because my Elite arrived last night.
Your Elite came in this week.
And
mine's coming in next week.
It was waiting for me when I got home yesterday.
Right. Let's just... Drinking time. Take a drink, kids, because here I go. Let's be clear. you bought yours, and I have to buy mine.
Yeah. Mine came from Costco.com. Yeah. They had a nice little pre-order bundle with a second controller, battery, plane charger.
With the horrible packaging you told me about. With the big blister pack or...
Yeah, getting the control... I mean, I'm sure our audience all knows, getting, like, a controller out of a blister pack, I understand why they have to do it.
And it's not just us. It's like industry standard, unfortunately.
Yeah, and they have to do it because too many people steal things right out of the package and put them in their pocket and try to walk out with it. But as someone who doesn't steal things, it kind of sucks.
Right.
And it's a real pain to get those out.
So what do you do? Do you go out into the garage and get, like, the hedge clippers? Or how do you attack? What's your attack?
My second 360 came from Costco, and it was in one of the giant blister packs where they had wrapped the Xbox 360 box plus another controller.
That's unwieldy, isn't it?
Yeah, and the blister pack for that was probably like 2 feet long.
Right.
And so for that, I did take it out into the garage, and I used power tools on it. I started to cut it with scissors. I did that for about 10 seconds. I went, this is stupid.
I mean, really, you need like a lightsaber just to chew through it.
So I went and, you know, I've got one of those. I think mine's a Ryobi. I got it at, like, Home Depot, big, you know, power tool packs that has, like, one battery and right. seven different things you can connect it up to.
Yeah.
Grab the saw and...
With your glasses on.
Yes.
And you're ready to go. So, Earth Defense Force. So, that's the first game you played in your Elite. How's your Elite looking?
I think
looking?
It was. Yeah. It looks great. Yeah. Because I have a... You've seen my AV stand. It's a black metal stand.
So, we're on the left
AV
there,
stand.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And almost everything in it is black, with the exception of my TiVo that's silver. And it looks great. It blends right in. Looks really nice next to those HD DVD players, too.
Right.
So, yeah. And I fired it up, and I think EDF was the first game I popped
in. Are you plugging your HD DVD player into that one or your other 360?
Into that one, because that one's on the big TV.
Right, the big TV.
So, which... because it's old, doesn't have HDMI, so I'm connected over component.
You're waiting for that Samsung phenomenal. We talked about last week.
Yeah.
The LED. And did you get one in the mail? Because I remember we told last week people
I'm sure I'll give out my address, and I'm sure a TV will just show up.
A TV or something else.
Yeah. I don't want to have to start x-raying my mail, so not going there.
I do
You x-ray your mail?
Sometimes. You see the weird mail I get in here.
Well, okay, that's fair. I get some pretty bizarre messages over live.
Yeah, no, I get a lot of weird mail.
One more sidetrack, and then I'll go back. Probably the weirdest messages I've gotten over live in the last week is because last week I was complaining about the messages I get that just say, you know, right. hey, or dude. A whole bunch of my friends decided to send me messages saying,
you stirred them up,
dude. So, yeah. Apparently, a lot of my friends, and yes, I'm talking to you, Jeff, don't have anything to do. Anyways... back on track. Earth Defense Force. Played that on the Elite last night. I got to go back and give it another shot because it just felt like I was missing something.
Yeah, I know. I threw it in. And, well, you know, one of the challenges with this game is it's a fairly lengthy game.
Yes, 54 missions
I believe
something?
So. And you only get achievements when you finish the stage. So
when you finish the game.
The entire game. All the levels. All 50-plus levels. On easy, you got another achievement for normal, another one for hard, another for hardest, another one for inferno, and then another one after you acquire all the weapons, which can pretty much occur anywhere.
Yeah, which, I mean, really is not what I would consider the ideal way to use achievements. You want to, you know, kind of keep feeding people small bits to keep them interested so that they're getting a little, you know, positive reinforcement every once in a while. But I'm going to go back and give it another shot. So,
on another note, we're talking about HD DVD. I got my Planet Earth in, finally.
Ooh. What'd you watch so far?
I just watched the first 10 minutes. My wife and I are going to sit down and watch. I told you the story about in my wife's world, things don't get eaten and things don't die.
There is no circle of life.
Everything's happy, happy, joy, joy. But I threw it in and looked at it for just a few minutes. And you and I talked about this before. I don't know, Sigourney Weaver or Sir Richard Attenborough?
Attenborough.
Yeah,
I like Sigourney Weaver, but every time I hear her voice. I have a flashback to Alien and Aliens.
Right.
And it doesn't work when, I mean, you're going to expect suddenly something to burst out of the belly of the polar bear.
So let me explain it. So the Discovery Channel in the United States purchased this from the BBC, which produced them. And apparently they just redubbed, they just took the same script and had Sigourney Weaver read the script.
Right. And by no means am I saying she's bad.
No, it's a great read.
Now that you can look
at them next to each other.
Yeah, but for that kind of thing, I prefer hearing a voice that I don't know what the person looks like. I have no idea what Sir Richard
Attenborough is. You want me to look it up for you on Wikipedia?
Now you're going to ruin that for me. But I don't want to be able to put a face and like movie roles to the voice of Planet Earth. I just want to hear this nameless, faceless, disembodied voice.
With a nice English accent.
Yeah, that works.
Did it work? Which ones have you watched so far?
I keep watching the same ones. I keep watching like the polar bear and penguin one and the whale one.
Which is a great one. That's him right there. See with the glasses? Look at that. Look at that.
I'm not looking.
Look at the big glasses. See that?
Your screen is all tilted funny. I can't even see that. It looks like... Oh, okay. He actually looks... I guess it's the glasses.
Yeah.
At a distance, he looks a lot like Isaac Asimov, but not at all.
Right.
For one thing, Isaac Asimov is dead, sadly.
Secondly.
But he is one of my favorite authors, but... Now we're really off topic. It's fine either way. What did you think, though? You're on cable.
Right.
What did you think picture quality, cable to HD DVD? Well, on your TV, it may not matter. But
no, my TV's fine.
No, it's really not.
Really? Why not?
Your TV blows.
My TV's fine. I got a Toshiba tube, a huge tube, and it's fine.
Yeah. No.
I like the tube because you don't have to deal with any refresh crap.
Well, I'm not saying anything against tubes, but your TV, you need a new TV. Anyways,
I know that. I know it's time for a new TV, so I think I need to get the one that you were talking about.
Do you want to buy a slightly used 65-inch Mitsubishi?
Although, and pick it up and get that thing out of your house? You're out of your mind.
Yeah, it wouldn't exactly fit on in your car.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
I'm just going over to Amazon again to see what...
You've already bought it.
It is Richard. It is. Oh, it's David Attenborough, not Richard Attenborough. See, I knew something was wrong here. When I'm looking at him, I'm going, I don't think that's the right guy.
Okay.
So
now I still don't know who it is, so I'm happy once again.
Back to Wikipedia.
So, no. Moving on. I'm sure there's something else we should be talking about.
No, we don't want to talk about Planet Earth?
We've talked a lot about Planet Earth. I mean,
yeah,
love
we've
it,
talked about it for weeks. That's him right there.
Is probably, yeah, anyway. I can't see that either.
All right.
The audience is probably like, okay, yeah, enough about Planet Earth. This is not the
what
Discovery
else do you
Channel.
Have?
So, I have OXM. This just came.
Yeah, I got my OXM as well. People who subscribe to the official Xbox magazine, that should be in your mailbox.
June 2007.
If you're in Europe and you're waiting for your PlayStation magazine, that may be delayed.
Oh, yeah. issues. I suppose I should point out that no goats were harmed in the recording of this podcast.
This is entirely an animal-friendly show.
Yes.
No animals are killed in this. Maybe the occasional dust bunny.
Not technically an animal.
Right. Not technically an animal, but... Yeah.
We are animal-friendly. PETA has no issues with us that I'm aware of.
Did you see my motto? I changed it to poor goat. I got a lot of messages on that one. Uh-huh. I'm going to leave it up for a little while. Poor goat.
I'm surprised at how much attention people pay to your motto. I don't think I've changed mine in 2 years.
Well, it's another way I communicate. I have like the blog, I have the show, I got Twitter. And frankly, my motto, I kind of, once in a while, I'll leak something out in the motto.
Little
just for
Easter
haas.
Egg.
Yeah, just keep people interesting. So
leak things out, like look carefully at the photo I posted on Flickr with Albert.
Right. Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. That's the classic one. Can never do that again. So, where were we? You're looking at OXM, right?
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff in here.
Well, so we're going to go through that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stop down right now. We're gonna play the interview.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Pac-Man with Billy Mitchell. And he's got quite a few stories about his times in the arcade. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and roll into Billy Mitchell. All right, my guest on this week's show is legendary Billy Mitchell. Those of you that don't know Billy, Billy, why don't you explain what your claim to fame is?
Okay, my claim to fame besides being on Larry's show.
Yeah, exactly.
actually, it began in the early 1980s. In 1982, the first event I ever went to was Life magazine. It was a full-page spread of myself and 19 players. We were supposedly the spread of the 19 best players in the world. I was in that photograph because I had the world record on centipede. While I was there, I had accomplished a couple other world records. Events were happening. Things were going fast. The Guinness Book of World Records was beginning to print stuff, and so I got caught in the fever of wanting to have world records, wanting to win, wanting to achieve.
Right.
And that went on until about 1986, and then I realized I had to be a real guy, a real man. I had to not compete, and I had to establish a career. And I have some restaurants. I actually own a couple different companies. And in 1999, the fever or classic gaming had come back to life. And there were two guys from Canada that were really good, and they're really good, and they're great guys. But I wasn't going to let them steal the title of the perfect game that was dubbed as being the holy grail of video games. And on July 3rd, 1999, I achieved the perfect score on Pac-Man at Fun Spot up in Weirs Beach, New Hampshire. That was every dot, every energizer, every blue man. Never died. 256 boards until we exhausted the memory of the game.
So let's be clear. You got the perfect... And now, what is the perfect score in Pac-Man?
It's 3,333,360.
That is
with that score. That score, you start with five guys and you get a bonus, a total of six guys. But you have to get there on your first man.
But you got to get there on your first man. So you played. You played the perfect. I mean, I don't even know where to start with this one. So We're gonna get to that. We're gonna go way back. So you obviously started playing video games in the early '80s, like a lot of my older listeners did, and then
older.
Well, I have a lot of young listeners, I'll tell you that. So they didn't realize there were these things back in the day called arcades. But you started, you started back in the 80s, and then it took you almost 20 years to get that perfect Pac-Man score. What was like that? I mean, what were you doing in the early 80s, and then what were you doing in the meantime, and then how did you finally jump back into it and say, I'm going to get this perfect score?
Okay, now that you beat me up a little, my first event was in 1982,
right.
And my last event of the 1980s was in 1987.
Okay.
Many consider 1986 as being the close of the golden age of video games, and in 1987 I began to work very hard and very diligently in business.
Right.
And it was in 1998 that throughout the 90s I would occasionally receive phone calls from people, usually through Walter Day at Twin Galaxies, and they would claim whatever scores they would claim on video games, for example, on Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man. And there were these two Canadians that Walter called on the phone. They were really nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, all right, put them on the phone. I'm just going to ask them a half a dozen questions. I'm going to blow them out of the water, and we'll know these guys are just having fun telling stories.
So you're going to be able to say, hey, so what happens at this level or what happens at that level? Kind of test them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely trap them, nail them, and throw them in a river like I did everybody through all these years.
Yep.
I rattled off six questions, let's say, and as fast as I could have answered six questions, they answered them back correctly.
Uh-oh.
And I said to Walter Day, I said, yeah, these guys are for real. And they were pushing, and they were going to get what I had never gotten in the 1980s, and that was the holy grail of video games, the perfect score on Pac-Man. So from 1987 to 1999, I never played a single competitive game of Pac-Man, never. So after more than 12 years of just sitting on my hands, I began to play. And I was playing against one of them at a competition up in Fun Spot. And just to give you an idea how tough it was, the guy who did not get the perfect game, okay, he came within 90 points of getting the perfect game.
90 points of... so
90 points out of 3.3 million.
That is unbelievable.
So he would have beaten me to the punch,
right.
But he didn't.
Right.
And very often people ask me, they say, you know, you always have that American flag tie on. It's sort of like a symbol of what it is you do now.
Right.
Well, the reason why was he was from Canada and I was from the U.S. and we had our little international rivalry. Well, I can get you a picture of him. I mean, he wore a cape, a Canadian cape that was a flag. And, I mean, I just wasn't going to be quite that silly. I mean, I like
right.
to have fun, but I didn't want to be, you know, you're already considered a geek in the game world. I didn't want to be that geeky, so the flag was about as geeky as I wanted to get.
And
so I'm not a 9/11 guy.
Right, so it was tasteful, it was nice, as opposed to this guy who showed up with a full Canadian flag cape ready to try to kick your ass.
Yeah, he did. Or he tried to.
He tried to.
And and let me be very humble. He's playing, and I'm watching him play, and he was above 2 million points.
Yep.
And I says, wow. And I'm like, wow. Geez, I can't believe after all these years I let it slip. Wow. And at about 2.7 million, I saw a 90-point slip. And I says, oh, my God, he didn't get it.
He didn't get it. So
he didn't get it.
So
And actually, at that gathering that he and I were at,
mm-hmm.
neither one of us got it. I had a game going just like him, and he was, wow. And he had resigned himself to the fact that I had gotten a score, and I didn't get it. I mean, I stopped short. Only when I missed the points, I got mad and I quit the game.
Sure.
And it was after that I said, I'm just not going to let this slip. And then maybe by subconsciously, I actually went back there on Canada Day. And before the 4th of July, I captured the perfect score on July 3rd.
So you wandered, you were up in New Hampshire, you wandered into Fun Spot. And did you go in there with the intention of doing it, or were you just kind of sharpen up your skills a little bit?
Well, the first time we were there, it was an organized competition.
Sure.
And so we were there. But I actually... Sorry, that's a video game person returning the call. And funny, from New Hampshire. But anyway, what happened was I was there, and I didn't get the perfect game, nor did he. And then I just came back, and I went to bed a half an hour later. I woke up a half an hour earlier, and I did that for a few weeks. And then I sent out a little press release. I said, I'm going there, and I'm going to get the perfect game. And I had a lot of people doubting me. I had people telling me, it's been 10 billion games. You can't do it. It's not meant to be done, on and on and on. And I just said, don't bet your life.
And then it's real easy.
I went there, and I went there with an open ticket. I didn't know that I would do it so quickly.
Right.
I went there with an open ticket, and I wasn't coming home. I mean, I would have been, like, shamed if I came home without it.
Now when you decided to go back in there to break the record, did you know there were certain mistakes that you had made, and you said, I'm not going to make those mistakes again, or was it just pure, you were just going to power through it and make it happen?
Well, it is a power thing, but it's a matter of consistency, and the truth is I played, and when I got past board, when I got to board 21, which is a threshold, that's where the game reaches maximum difficulty,
mm-hmm.
and from board 21 to board 255, it's competitive difficulty. It's the same thing over and over again, which sounds easy, and it's not. You do the same thing over and over again, and you can't slip up. And I talking to myself, even talking on the video camera, I said I'm going to go from board 21 to 255 without missing a single turn.
Right.
And I got to 1.9 million when I made my first bad turn. And somehow I cheated death and I got out of it. And I made a mistake again and again and again and again. It just kept happening all the way to 2.1 million. And somehow I survived and I didn't miss a point. And I actually began coaching myself. I'm talking to myself as I'm playing. I'm saying, okay, bottom right, left S channel, top right, across the box. I'm coaching myself a few seconds in advance of what I'm supposed to do because of the repetitive nature of it. You just screw up. You just turn the wrong way. So I'm actually talking as if I'm coaching myself. And from 2.1 to 3.3, I never made a wrong turn again.
So you talked about, you know, when you did this in 1999, getting the perfect score of 3.3 million. How long did that take?
Well, the truth is I can do it in about 4 hours. But in that particular game, there were people all around. There were other players. There was employees. And there was even two reporters there. So without kidding you, I was stopping sometimes in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I was answering questions. And I also chose to do it without using patterns because it was more difficult, thinking that if somebody comes along behind me to do it, I will have done it a more difficult way.
Sure.
So I did do it a slower way, a more methodical way, a more difficult way. But I also was in the midst of, it was utter chaos.
Now, you've actually also achieved some pretty amazing scores on, I looked at your bio, Burger Time and Donkey Kong. Those are kind of similar pattern-based games. So is that kind of your thing, the pattern-based games, as opposed to, like, if I were to take you on in Halo 2, it would be a little more difficult, you know, a first-person shooter.
Right, a first-person shooter game, to be honest, I never got good at them.
Right.
I never played them back in those days. And to try to teach an old dog a new trick, I think I'd get whipped. And I don't like getting whipped.
What do you think of the Pac-Man World Championship that's come to the Xbox 360?
Oh, I think it's great because, again, I find myself in the same situation I was in the early 80s. I wasn't familiar with computers. They were very intimidating. They weren't fun because they were new and they were different. So it took a time, a period of adaptation. And the truth is, Pac-Man introduced me to video games introduced me to computers in a very fun, soft-hearted way.
Right.
It was something that appealed to me and to most everybody, including women. It was a very non-threatening game. And so it made computers fun. By the same token, I've told people I've never owned a home game system. I got an Xbox now, and it's the first one I've owned.
So the Xbox 360 is your very first console game you've ever owned?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And the truth of the matter is that same adaptation I have to make to where I have to begin to play something that's sort of different, it's odd to me, it's intimidating, I'm going through the same mental anguish now that I went through in the 80s. But it's a lot of fun.
So when you sit down in front of your TV, you know, I know you're obviously older now, you got a family and so forth, you have other obligations. When you sit down to play Pac-Man in front of the television set with your Xbox 360, do you start having flashbacks? Because it's the same game, correct? I mean, are all the same type of nuances in this game that are...
Okay, more so than being the same. There are a lot of versions of Pac-Man. There's the original version that we speak of from 1980. And there's everybody and their mother who thought they would do or change something or try to do something that's illegal, and you'll find it on different websites.
Sure.
You'll find boards that have been hacked and messed up. This is absolutely right to the hundredth of a second. It's authentic to the original version.
So when you sit down in your living room, you can kind of close your eyes and play. If you know, obviously, you know when you're playing, but you can kind of close your eyes and you're back to the pizza parlor of the 80s and the big arcades of the 80s, right?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's
yeah. And it's anybody who says it's not an exact replica, all the way to 256.
Right.
Isn't correct. It is. I tested it. I was with friends and we tested it. And the thing that's different is, number one, you're playing with a different controller.
Right.
So again, the same adaptation that had to be made in the 80s has to be made now. But to be honest, sitting on the couch here playing, I find myself nodding off. So in some ways, it has new challenges.
Are you, you know, obviously you're in the running to be in New York at the World Championship. How are you feeling about that? Have you cleared the board? Have you gotten close? Or are you ready to go?
Without kidding you, I'm struggling with adapting to that which is new to me. And being that now having a job and a home, a wife and a child, boy, it's not like the 80s. Responsibilities are hell.
Yeah.
And when I was 18 or 17 years old, I didn't have a care in the world. I didn't have responsibility one, and I had a quarter, which was just enough money for me.
Right.
So the biggest struggle, the biggest obstacle I have, without question, is the time and the availability to do it. I raced here to get to the phone because I knew you were calling, and I was picking my daughter up from school.
Well,
it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and I appreciate you taking the time because I know you're a businessman, you're a family man, you've got a lot going on. I'm just going to take a few more minutes of your time. You were named one of the 10 most influential video gamers of all time last year by MTV, of all things. And you and I remember back in the 80s when MTV was playing music.
Right.
But what was that like? I mean, you're sharing the limelight with some pretty important people.
Okay, as I look back on it, recently I was at an event. It was organized. It was a Make-A-Wish Foundation, a child who had every physical challenge in the world. Mm-hmm. His dream was to have an ultimate game room. We were there. We brought some games there. I gave him some gifts. One of the gifts was an Xbox, by the way. And I actually gave him the jacket that Namco gave me for creating the perfect score. They flew me to Japan, and I was on stage.
Wow.
Things like that that I'm involved in. I've spoken at schools. I've spoken even as high as a college level here in Miami. I try to do anything and everything I can to promote video games in a positive light. I try to promote in every way that I can every competition that's there. And I try to push and promote people and players to go. Even if they can't financially afford it, I try to help them in any way that I can. So the fact that all of that taken into consideration helped me be one of the top 10 most influential game players of all time, it tells me that it was all worth it, that maybe somewhere I've had a positive impact in some way that's helped people in the industry as a whole.
It's a definitely different industry, the arcade style. Now, I have to ask you, because everyone's probably thinking of this, do you actually have a Pac-Man stand-up cabinet game in your house?
No, I have one in each one of my restaurants.
Okay.
That I never... ever play.
You
the
never...
last time somebody was here filming, they say, "Can we see you play?" And I say, "Sure." And I mean, I put a quarter in, and they're playing it just for the sake of filming.
Right.
And a waitress runs over and says, "Ooh, he's playing. I want to watch him play." So the camera turns to her, and they say, "Oh, you've never seen him play?" "No, no, I've never seen him play." "How long have you worked here?" 14 years.
Wow.
But I had one at home, but the truth is, I have quite a few games, but they're not at home. I've loaned them out to friends, and then when they get tired of them, I'll get them back, or I'll loan them to another friend. I don't have one in my home, and I haven't had one for a long time. They're like out on loan.
Yeah. So
the truth is, playing Pac-Man on a competitive level here, the last time I played Pac-Man on a competitive level was July 3rd.
Right.
1999.
So that's almost, that's 7 or 8 years ago. It's 8 years ago. Doesn't feel like a long time, but I'm sure for you it probably feels like miles ago when you were up in New Hampshire at Fun Spot breaking that score. But now you can play it in your own home with your Xbox 360, and you're actually participating in the World Championship. Do you think your participation is going to scare some people, or do you think it's going to challenge some people?
Well, I'm not really one for like the internet and forums and chats, but I'll have people send me stuff.
Oh, it's kind of scary out there. Gamers on forums and blogs, it's a little scary, trust me.
Yeah, they can be scary, and they can be rough on you. They've never even met you.
Oh,
but,
yes.
I read where people say that I would not be able to adapt to the to a home version. I have people who tell me, oh, no, they already have the crown fitted for him. He's going to win.
Right.
And, again, my greatest challenge is balancing my family, personal, business life with what I also enjoy doing.
Right.
And, I think if people are intimidated by the fact that I'm going to be there, I'm not the only one they should be intimidated. I mean, I know a lot of other people that are really good. There's two other guys that I would wonder if they're playing, and if they are, they'd be enough to worry about.
Do you think the Canadians?
They're both Canadian, and they're both Canadian, by the way.
So, are these the Canadians that were challenging you back in 1999?
Yes, it is. So, or two out of Of three that I know, two out of three I think are playing.
So it could be quite the showdown. Is it? You mentioned something a moment ago. You talked about how you do it for fun. Is it still fun for you to sit down and play Pac-Man?
It's fun to compete. It's fun to travel. It's fun to meet people. To adapt to something new is damn frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, damn frustrating.
Now, I noticed in the all the games you played, we talked about in Burger Time and Donkey Kong, I don't see Miss Pac-Man on here. How come?
Oh, yeah. No, I had the Miss Pac-Man record for many years.
Okay.
And it was swiped away by, for sure, my lifelong best friend. His name is Chris Ira, and he lives about an hour south of me, which is where I have a bunch of games because he has a room in his house just for games. And, no, I had the Miss Pac-Man record for many years, and maybe I'll have it again here soon.
That's cool. So. What do you, you know, somebody who's listening right now, who's thinking about maybe participating, downloading the Pac-Man from the Xbox Live Arcade and maybe thinking about participating for the event in New York, what kind of tips can you give them? I don't want to give them all the tips because you're obviously in the running, but what kind of tips for somebody who has played this game for you know, 20 years, what kind of tips can you give them?
Don't let the bastards get to you.
Well,
that's one tip. No, the other tip is it's repetition. It's over and over and over again. I can show you what it is you need to do. That doesn't mean you can do it.
Right.
But repetition, consistency, over and over and over and over again. You'll play your best game when you've played 10 games in front of it. Your 11th game will be your best game. And then when you've played 20 games, your 20, your 21st, your 22nd will be your best game. Always it's repetition.
So it's just a, just keep hitting it.
Well, repetition creates consistency.
What, you know, a lot of people have complained about the Xbox 360 controller. How does that feel versus the original joystick from the Pac-Man stand-up cabinet?
Well, when I played the original Pac-Man cabinet back in the 1980s, you would hear me say, this joystick has a mind of its own. You'd hear me say, oh, this joystick's broken. This one doesn't work, and I'd move along to the next one.
Right.
I had every excuse in the world when I wasn't successful.
Mm-hmm.
So having to adapt and having to play on the same level playing field as everybody else, that's what I'm doing now. If I win, it's because I win. If I don't win, it's because I don't win.
Right.
The joystick is not an excuse.
Cool. Interesting. The and I have to ask you this. Do your kids or does your wife, do you guys play video games together?
My wife knows how to turn a video game on.
Okay.
my oldest daughter, who's in college, she might play a video game if she's drinking in a bar.
Right.
Yeah, but since she doesn't go to bars, I'm sure,
or
she doesn't play any.
Or so she tells you. So anyway.
My youngest daughter, she'll play for a few minutes and walk away. My son, I have to regulate his time. I have to use video games against him. After he plays a trumpet, after he practices his trumpet, after he cleans his room, after he does his homework, after he comes home from football practice, then he can play video games.
Right.
If I didn't do that, he wouldn't get a whole lot done.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
There you go. All right, well, Billy Mitchell, I appreciate you. You are the reigning champ of the perfect Pac-Man score of 3,333,360 achieved in 1999. You're competing in the Pac-Man World Championship. I really appreciate you taking some time to spend with me today, and hopefully I'll see you in New York.
You might say it was a major pleasure.
All right, so there's Billy Mitchell. Thank you, Billy, for taking some time from your wife, your kids, your business. He apparently owns a bunch of restaurants.
Where does he find the time to be that good at Pac-Man?
Well, it's ingrained to him. You know, if like you said in the interview, he hadn't come back to it for, what was it, like almost 15 years or 12 years.
I don't remember. I mean, I played a lot. There was an arcade,
mm-hmm.
So I might as well just tell the story. So when I was in junior high,
mm-hmm.
there's an arcade in Eugene, Oregon called mm-hmm. Charlie's. Pool, video games, it was like the place you went. So after school, you would hop on your bike and ride down to Charlie's and hang out for a couple of hours. And there was a time period where Pac-Man was what I played, and I would play a couple hours a day. And I remember being able to consistently get up to ninth key, and then I was just screwed. I can't play Pac-Man at all anymore. It's all about remembering those patterns.
Although he didn't use patterns when he broke the record.
That just boggles my mind.
Yeah, I know.
That's the way you play Pac-Man. Memorize the patterns.
But if you listen, what he was talking about was how he was saying how he was coaching himself while he was doing it, and it was interesting to talk to him. But he also said,
Hopefully some people picked up on this, is that it was an exact representation of what he played, the Xbox Live arcade version. There's a lot of different versions out there.
Yes.
Like he said, down to the millisecond. So yeah. I'm no Pac-Man connoisseur.
And
so
that's how I know I'm boggled by what he did, because I fired that up and I was like, oh yeah, I used to be great at this. And I remembered like the first 5 seconds. And after that, I was like,
yeah.
Wow, 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 wow.
Exactly.
So let's forge on forward. You have what do you have?
I have the Juno XM in front of me.
Okay, OXM, so official just, Xbox magazine.
Yep, just looking at a couple of things in here. There's some cool stuff on the way.
Like what?
The Darkness.
Yep.
So
which is a game about?
Which is a game about? Well, it's very dark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to describe it. I don't want to say it's just a shooter. I don't want to say it's an action game. The one thing I do want to do is encourage everyone to check this game out when it comes out.
The Darkness.
Is from, I think their name is Starbreeze. It's the guys who did Chronicles of Riddick for Xbox.
Which we played a lot of.
I loved that game. There were only 3 games on Xbox that I actually played start to finish.
You and I remember that one.
That was one of the 3. Yep. Halo, Halo 2, and Chronicles of Riddick. I loved it. And this is, I think, their next game. I think they've been working on this ever since they finished Riddick. So I am really, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I remember that, Riddick. That looks so fantastic.
Yeah.
And it was a fun game, too.
Yes, and there were good puzzles.
Yep.
And they were true to the source material. It was,
so there is a game really that was, well done, for lack of a better term, based on a movie that was pretty good.
I would say it was, without a doubt, the best movie adaptation I've ever played.
Right.
It was that good. Because it was a, you know, 9 out of 10 kind of game. It was in my top 5 all-time Xbox games.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that good. My Beautiful Katamari. The next generation of Katamari Damacy coming to 360.
Mm-hmm.
Katamari Damacy is just
so I played wonderful. A little bit of that. I haven't played the full, you know, through, and I'm waiting for the Xbox 360 version. You know what I'm excited about? I don't know when it's coming out. Does it say?
Let me turn to page 40, and we'll find out.
Because I'm excited about this year when I go to the Tokyo Game Show, I am going to get the Katamari soundtracks, because some of that music is great.
Release?
You know I love music, so.
Yes. Release date, 2007.
Okay, so the answer is no.
This year. I mean, they've got a lot of screenshots in here. I would guess it's, you know, moderately soon, but
I don't know. Did we get our special private copies yet?
No.
Okay.
I have not seen My Beautiful Katamari in person.
Wow.
So,
okay.
But I'm looking forward to it. Katamari Damacy achievements, I hope they're creative, because they could do some really cool stuff with those.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
You know, like, because it could not only be, you know, how big is your, did you roll up the ball, but, you know, did you have enough of a certain kind of thing in it?
Right.
And, you know, number of people rolled up in the, so looking forward to that one.
Katamari.
A lot.
And I'm looking forward to picking up the soundtracks when I go to.
Yes.
Hopefully there'll be a new soundtrack for it when I go to Tokyo.
I would think they would. Yeah. So that's in here. One of the big reviews, actually, as opposed to a preview, Command & Conquer 3, which streets Tuesday,
uh-huh.
I think it is. So I'm looking forward to that. I love the old Command & Conquer. I played those. I mean, that was back in the day when I actually did play a ton of PC games.
Right.
And Command & Conquer was a blast.
Yeah.
And I love RTSs. I mean, that kind of shows in Catan, I guess, a little bit. It's not real time, but it's the same kind of strategy. You got to think it out. You can't just bowl through it. I really hope CNC is a good adaptation to console.
We should play that this weekend.
Yeah, because it does support multiplayer, doesn't
it? And yeah, we should play that this
weekend. Not only multiplayer, but the Vision Camera.
Vision Camera. Correct.
So, yeah, we should give that a try this weekend.
Okay.
There's an article on the dashboard update that's coming out very, very shortly.
Yeah, we don't have a date for that. Hopefully it's coming soon.
So they give you some pictures.
Stuff that most people that listen to this show and watch the blog already know.
Probably. It's things like, you know, the new Marketplace Blade, things like that.
The new showing game, what game is in your disk drive that I've been asking for since day one.
Yes, which is a nice feature.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else is
there's something in there. I don't want to spend too much time on OXM, but if you go to the end of the OXM, there's this. It has an interview with a guy. He actually sent me some of these. I'm trying to open it up. There's what page is that on, by the way?
I'm looking, but I have no idea what it's called.
It's all the way towards the end. It's like one of the last 4 or 5 pages.
Oh, all the way towards the end. Well,
end of the book, yeah.
There you go.
So it's this gentleman had done these Xbox Live. And my microphone's all over the place, so I apologize, people. I'm opening it up because he sealed them up so nicely. But he gave me these Xbox Live their dog tags, their, I don't even know what you want to call
them. Page 88.
Page 88. What's his name?
Jason Mishler.
So Jason made these and he sent some to me and they are phenomenal.
And I'd just like to say Jason is cool because he has access to a laser that is 2,000 pounds and will slice through steel. Jason's okay in my book.
That's pretty outrageous. And it's actually, it's a CNC Mazik 2,000 watt CO2 laser.
I just want to play with that. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like the kind of thing you'd find on Mythbusters.
Yeah, I mean, that just... I'm just reading. He sent me an email. It says, I had to design the keychain using CAD software in turn that makes the CNC program for the laser tool. Anyway, he made some, and here they are. So you'll see them in there, and he's got some here. I should probably give some away because they're kind of cool.
They're very cool.
Trixie came in and stole one.
Oh, really? Yeah. I should do that because I don't have one.
You don't have one? I'll give you one of these. Okay. So they're limited edition.
Yes. They're very cool.
Did he? I think he sent me a picture of this laser printer. Oh, I mean, this laser.
It's huge. There's a picture in the magazine, actually.
Oh, there is? So. This is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We got to get one of those. Is there anybody in the Seattle area that has one that we can come by and just...
Play with?
Play with?
Yeah.
This is not a toy. Yeah. I think it makes that sound. Hey, Jason, does it make that sound when you're cutting these things up?
It's a giant laser that cuts through steel. Anyway. Doesn't matter if it makes sounds. It's cool.
All right. Well, we're going to let's continue on going here. Let's OXN this month.
In the way back, there's an editorial by a friend of ours.
Frankie
from Bungie. And I got to say, Frankie is echoing something that we've been saying for a long, long time. Mm. I'd like to say, Frankie, thank you for telling it to such a large audience. The feedback system works best if you use it.
Yep. That's
so. He goes into a lot more detail than that.
If you ever, and I've been saying this for 3 years now, in fact, I end my show with it, send feedback.
Yes.
Is just remember, the feedback system in the Xbox Live 360 Xbox 360 dashboard works when you use it. A lot of the matchmaking works against it, and we do take that feedback very seriously. So.
And I like the little blurb that they kind of called out in the center of the article. Pretend you can't hear screamers. This makes their stupid fat faces turn crimson with impotent rage. Go, Frankie.
All right. Actually, I wanted to let you know, E, that Kieran emailed me, and Kieran was the author of the Earth Defense Force 2017 review that we talked about last week.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
I should have mentioned this earlier on when we were talking about EDF, but he was one of the guys that he wrote that, and it was funny.
It was hilarious. It was good. Best game review.
So well done,
ever.
Kieran. When you have another one, please email me. I'm happy to promote it because it was you did it justice there. You did it justice.
There was another person that emailed us, or not email. I got a message over live. So we talked last week a little bit about the Disneyland trip that I took after E3 last year. Right. Because you didn't know when you were going down to Disneyland. Right. You knew I was going to be there.
And I was sick last E3. I was miserable.
That's right. You went home early. Even.
Yeah, I went home early because I was so outrageously ill.
Right. So
I don't remember. In fact, if you watch the videos that we have up on Xbox.com from E3 last year, I don't remember shooting any of them. I literally was entirely drugged up the whole week.
You kind of looked it.
I was like, what's going on?
So I get a message over live from this guy. And he's like, hey, just wanted to say hi. That was my girlfriend that got Major the Disneyland tickets that you used.
Yep.
Told me where he works. He's at THQ. He's in the business, funny enough. And, yep. Oh, by the way, he went to the University of Oregon.
Which is where you
went. Right.
And we're not going to turn this into a duck conversation,
no,
are we?
We started talking football and
did
about
the duck
the
get beat up lately?
The duck did not get beat up. The duck got in a fight. There's a big difference. The duck, of course, won.
Yeah.
But it was cool. So it's just amazing the people that you run into, and it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? You went to school where? Well, when were you there? And small world.
Well, this is a big show.
Okay. Sorry, not small world, big Major Nelson.
This is big show. My show, big show.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh. Moving on.
I want to address something that you and I, we haven't talked about this before, but you know what? So here we are. We're recording this show, and you know the show's airing on Sunday. I have no idea where the Forza 2 demo is.
Okay, I was taking a drink when you said that, and I almost spouted Diet Coke all over my laptop.
I have no idea where it is. And there was an ad, I think it was an OXM, that's saying it was coming in April. April came and left, and it's like they descended on my blog going, where's the Forza 2 demo? You know what? When it's ready, it's ready.
Yeah, the only thing I'm going to say on that is there were a bunch of conspiracy theories around, well, I know it's done, it's past cert, you're just holding on to it.
Right.
We don't hold on to things when they pass cert. Yeah. When they pass cert, we say it's past cert, and then we say, what do you want to do with it?
Yeah, so I know Che over at the Forza Motorsport 2 community is going to be addressing folks real soon on that, but hey, when I know, I'll let you know. Let's leave it at that. You know, that's if you go back and read the, which apparently has become infamous, the where is the insert your demo title now post that I made about a year ago.
Yes, it's where, industry history.
Where I kind of explained to people that hey, sometimes for whatever reason those ads that are put into magazines are done months and months in advance, and sometimes they hit and sometimes they miss in terms of the dates.
Yes,
that's the reality.
But we're not like sitting back here cackling and rubbing our hands.
No, we're not playing it. Going, we're certainly not playing it.
We have it and we're not sharing.
So, and I don't have any other information to share with you because this is what happens. When you give a date and you miss it, then people get cranky. So you're better off to under-promise and over-deliver.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
All right. So now it's time for, well, I would say normally it's time for Name the Game, but we've got a little bit of a problem, E.
We do?
Yeah. The problem is.
You mean you do, right?
Yeah. Well, the problem is nobody guessed it.
Ooh.
Now, let me just back up.
That's our listeners.
Yeah, nobody guessed it. Now, it may be, this has happened before, though. It may be that people have sent in the correct response, but my spam catcher on the email caught it and threw it into a folder, and I have never seen it again.
Just go through all 37 emails in your junk folder and find it.
37?
37,000.
Yeah, try 37,000. So if you entered... and you had the right answer, please feel free to send it again. And make sure you send it from an account that doesn't have, like, XXYYBBC, your gamer tag XXX. You know, apparently, spam filters flag those as pretty not real.
Yes.
So that's kind of what we should... anyway, so name the game. So should I play the clip from last week?
Play the clip. Yep. Play it again.
All right. Same. Here's the name the game for last week. Think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com. major@xbox.com. Please include your gamer tag, and good luck to that.
Ta-da.
Do you want to do a... ooh, it's time for Funky to bring it in.
Xbox, yes. 101 with Major Nelson.
All right, so Xbox 101.
So we're going a little old school.
When he just sits in on the show, he is responsible for... It's the only thing you're responsible for.
That's good, because that's about all I'm going
to
pull
off. That's about all you're able to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So Xbox 101 this week is old school.
It's old school. Some of your listeners, especially the ones who've been here a long time, probably already know this, but for the new listeners, I think this one's going to come in kind of handy.
Okay.
So, for people who have wireless controllers, batteries, play and charge kits.
Mm-hmm. Play and charge kit is the kit with the cord and the...
Right. Plugs into one of the USB ports and allows you to recharge your controller and play at the same time. It also allows you to recharge the controller while the console is, quote-unquote, off. The trick to this is, don't just have the console off and plug it in and expect it to charge. Nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Before you turn your console off, attach the Play and Charge kit. You'll see the little light on the Play and Charge kit go on to indicate, hey, I'm recharging your rechargeable batteries right now.
Right.
Then turn the console off. It will, 99% of the way, turn off. All the lights will go off. The fans, the spinning DVD drive, it'll get very quiet, but it'll keep running just enough to supply power to finish the recharge. When the battery is fully charged, it will then shut off the rest of the way.
So there you go.
And actually, the corollary to that tip,
if
you happen to have any USB devices around, like a laptop, a PC, you can also charge it on that. It'll charge from any USB port.
That is old school. So I remember talking to somebody on the hardware team about that when we launched. Because there was a lot of confusion. Does it work? Does it not work? How does it work? So
the confusing part is when you use a Play and Charge kit to wire up a wireless controller, that's only for power.
Mm-hmm.
It still communicates with the console wirelessly.
Right.
But what you can do, and what I've done in cases, is okay, I'm out of power. I want to keep playing. As long as you can reach something with the USB port,
yeah, so
you don't need to reach the console.
So you're sitting 20 feet across in your room, and you're plugging into your laptop.
Right.
And playing wirelessly.
And recharging the battery and still playing.
That's the way to do it. So that's the Xbox 101 for this week. Thank you, E. We can close on an issue that has been open for a month. We can close this bug.
Okay.
It is the What Has Major Not Played contest.
Oh, we're finally
awarding. The winner is, his first name is William, and his gamer tag is Master Devwi, Devwi. William sent me this
rather disturbing Excel sheet, which the reason it's disturbing is because he went through here with incredible detail and went not only what games I hadn't played and which ones I had played, but which ones I didn't have achievements, which one I had no achievements, and which ones I hadn't played. So there's different tabs at the bottom here. So, William, thank you for that. I'm going to send you, I've already sent you this, actually. By the time you listen to this, you probably should have it. I sent you one of the Turtle Beach Air Force One X1 headsets. So
now, those are actually really nice.
Yeah, I gave you one last time.
Yeah, my girlfriend was using those last night. Mm-hmm. She was actually playing
Guitar. I thought you were
going
to tell me that
them.
You were going to wear it so you didn't have to listen to her.
Oh. So, yes, listeners, Major Nelson, he is kind of an ass, but he enjoys getting, you know, beat up by my girlfriend, so he has to poke and prod her, and next time they see each other, she will smack him upside the head, draw a little blood. Anyways, moving on, she was playing Guitar Hero 2 last night while I was playing Earth Defense Force, so she stuck the headphones on so she could hear the music,
right,
and I could still hear things going on. Worked out great, and she said they were good, very comfortable.
That's cool. Yeah, they're great, and I can't wait till they. I love them. I use them at home and when I play in my office, upstairs.
Oh yes, that's right. Because you don't. You need to optimize your house around the console. You haven't done.
Yeah.
That.
Well, no, I have two consoles in my house. So the upstairs in my office and downstairs in the.
Yeah, but you're being kicked up to the office to play. Door
I actually don't mind. I like
quiet.
Going up there.
Really?
Yeah, it's really nice to kind of just get away from everything else.
Oh, see, I want to be in my room, my TV, my recliner.
You know, I think I did this about a year and a half or 2 years ago. I think we should have people post up on Flickr what their gaming space looks like.
There were some good entries.
Remember
there
that?
Were some really good. Yeah.
I think we should do that
there
again.
Were some really good entries.
Put it up on Flickr and have people put up with their. If you guys think we should do that, let me know.
So we need a Flickr pool tag if we're going to do.
Yeah,
that.
Just gaming space. My gaming space. Let's see what else I have here. So anyway, William, thank you for that. That was great. By the way. Apparently, we found out where your movie was, your movie reference from last week.
Yes, and I felt like an idiot because it was a movie I had just seen. And thank you, Kitty, for pointing this out on the blog. It was from The Last Mimsy, and it's right in the very beginning of the movie. And I don't know how I had totally spaced that because I'd seen the movie like probably less than a week before we recorded that.
Oops. You blacked out.
Yeah.
You blacked out.
So I have very limited... you know, actually available memory, and I have to page things out pretty rapidly.
Yeah, E doesn't have 512 megs.
No. I'm clearly a 64 meg MU, so...
If that. What do you? What else do you have? Because otherwise we're going to kind of wind things up here. Want to talk? Do we have any gadget talk?
The Windows Mobile 6 upgrade is out for the T-Mobile Dash.
Right, which so we both have.
We've talked about the Dash a million
but I,
times.
But I've had the Windows Mobile 6 upgrade for a few months now. You won't run it.
Yeah, I... For me, my phone is a very simple appliance. I don't want to run a whole bunch of fancy applications on it. I just want it to work all of the time.
Right.
And, hey, any software in beta, you never know. And I don't want to get caught out with, you know, unable to do whatever because I don't have my phone.
Right.
So
you're gonna put it on there?
Now that it's done, yeah, I will upgrade to WM6, absolutely. So I'll probably do that this weekend.
I got to get one of these TVs for my house. I have in my office, I have a Westinghouse 37-inch 1080p screen, and I got to get one of these for my house. This is for my office. This is what I need.
Yeah, but for home, you need a little bigger one.
No, it's just for my office.
Oh, for the office upstairs.
Yeah, for the upstairs,
oh,
yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, that'll work.
I really like this thing. I've got it in here. I've got an Elite hooked up to it, and it just looks, Crackdown looks especially good. Speaking of Crackdown, wow, I cannot talk about this, but I have to.
Okay.
I saw some of the downloadable content plans, you know, just for what it is and what the content's going to do. It is going to be cool.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. That's what'll draw me back to Crackdown. I have not played it since I got my 500th orb.
Yay.
I'm taking some time off.
Right.
But when the content comes out, I will go back.
The downloadable content, I'm really excited about that. So it seems like we talk about that game a lot, but
surprise, surprise, great
surprise.
Game.
It's a fun game.
Yes.
It's
orb hunting was just, that was a phenomenal idea.
Let's see what else I got for you.
Kind of on the gadget front.
Yes.
Kind of, sort of. Last weekend, I went to the Seattle Supercross.
Yeah, I couldn't go to that.
Oh, my God, that was awesome.
E at a motocross.
So, not just E. So, some friends of ours from the community hooked us up with tickets.
Yep.
MX Gimpchick and Heartbreaker Ryan. And it was a blast.
They came in here, and I actually saw those guys. I wasn't able to attend last week. But, we haven't talked about that.
It was after we'd recorded most of the show.
Right.
But we wound up, we had dinner. We went out to the track. Kitty and I got there, I think, around 3 o'clock. We got to walk the track before they raced on it. So it was held in Quest Field, which is where the Seahawks play football.
They play it in the football?
Yeah, but they bring in 500 dump trucks of dirt and build the track for the day. And we got to walk up and down the jumps and almost all the way around the course before they started the race.
Did you take photos?
I didn't. A lot of other people did. I conveniently forgot the camera in the car. But it was very cool. And then when the actual racing started, wow, it was an amazing amount of fun. The closest I've ever come to something like that is like ESPN.
Right.
And it was a blast. And there was actually, there were a couple really exciting points. There was one point where two riders at the end of the race got into a fist fight after one of the qualifiers. So they were both done for the evening. They didn't get to move on.
Right.
And it was all over a tiff that had happened over one of the jumps. One of them had kind of gone sideways into the other. And then the final race in, I think it's like the Super Light series.
Right.
Not the big bikes, but the smaller bikes. Incredibly exciting. There was the guy who was expected to win didn't have a great start, had to come from behind on like lap 6. And wow, was that a lot of fun. If there's one of these going on near you, I encourage you to check it out. I was really, really entertained.
I will do that.
So
that sounds good. I don't know if we have anything else. Just kind of a quick week this week. Lot going on. Do you want to talk about the content not available in countries? And
oh yeah, so what can we say?
There's actually two things we got to talk about, and that's one of them. Go ahead.
Okay, so there's been again confusion around what's it mean when we say that you can only get content from the place where you are. And this goes back to the discussion we've had a couple times around...
Quite a few times, actually.
Yeah, mostly around the video marketplace. That's the big driver. But it also it affects, you know, some arcade games and some downloadable content. It's, I live in country X, and the content that I want isn't available here. And it doesn't matter what the content is. It's
right.
You want it, and you're being told you can't have it, and right. That sucks. I totally get it. It does suck. No doubt about it.
Yeah, it does.
The truth of the matter is... It's not our content.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the people who come to us and say, we want to publish our content on live, they tell us, okay, here are the countries where we can make this available in, and we have to respect their wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might not be their content either. They just have the rights to market it in certain places.
Yeah.
And, you know, it as a consumer, being shown something that you want and being told you can't have it is a really crummy situation.
You always want what you can't have.
Right. And I feel bad, but, you know,
we
are
do.
Giving it to you when we don't have the legal right to. We can't do that either.
Right. It's not legal.
So it sucks.
But them's the laws.
We constantly are working, you know, behind the scenes to do everything within our power to make it better. Trust me. We want to make the content available to you. But it's not... You know, something we can just do because we want to.
Yeah, so it's
and we hear you. We're working on it.
And there's a post up over at the PR blog, Gamerscore blog, that you can go over and take a look at.
Yes,
That's kind of explained some of the details. It bums us out, but again, we have to worry content distribution method, and we don't own the content. It's not ours to give away.
Right.
You know, it's just the way it is.
So if there was a gamer pick of me, I would give it to everybody.
Nobody would want it.
Right, but everyone would have access to it, which would make them happy.
Right.
And then they could all decide not to get it. Speaking of which, we did have a great idea at lunch today.
We did?
So we did.
We did?
People have been clamoring for you to get your podcast up on Xbox Live.
Yes!
So you know, I don't know if we can pull this off by next week, but we're going to do it. We're going to get the Major Nelson podcast on Xbox Live.
No.
It's going to be exclusive on Xbox Live for 200 points.
Stop!
And... It's a great idea.
Not true. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to charge. They will always be free.
I suppose, but... I mean,
now you're going to get everyone riled up.
Well, that'll pay for your new TV in your office.
I know. That's not why I do this. I do this because I like doing this show. That's why I do this.
Why do I do it?
That is a good question.
You need a sidekick?
That is a good question. Why do you do it?
I don't know.
Because Trixie's voice is really annoying.
Oh, don't go. Oh, why'd you have to go there? Oh, God. First, you like rag on my girlfriend like 3 times. Now you have to rag on Trixie. And Trixie's voice is just fine.
Some people don't find it. It doesn't bother me.
Then why do you keep saying that
her voice... Well, I get the emails from people.
Well, that doesn't mean you have to bring it up.
All right, we're going to wrap it up now. So thank you to my friends at Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with secure and assured hosting environment we all know and love. Also, thanks to our friends at CacheFly for their great caching services. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading my show. Thank you, E.
Thank you, Major. And goodbye, everybody.
Have fun, play fair, send feedback,
or file a complaint.
And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
We're not all right, after show. We're not charging for my podcast.
Oh, but it was funny.
Yeah, that's
when we were at lunch with Bear, we had a laugh about
that. Yeah, that was Bear's idea. Let's send him to Bear, who has Scott hasn't been on the show in a while. I got to get him back on. The thing I want to talk about that I didn't address in the main show was that you know, a lot of people are still looking for some comments on marketplace content. And yeah, I know. I got to get somebody on for that. So it's just that I'm trying to find the right people that want to say the right things that you want to hear.
Exactly.
I think that's really what it is. But your voices are heard. Everyone, you know, I always say that I pass it on to the right people. I probably get, you know, Major at Xbox.com, I probably get about between 500 and 1,000 emails a week.
Yeah. Plus and the messages over live.
Plus all the posts on the blog.
Yep.
It's pretty crazy. So I always forward the best ones I can on to the right people. And I'm always sending you stuff. I'm sending stuff to the console team. I mean, everybody gets forwards.
Yes, we are listening. Doesn't mean we can always do what you want.
Yeah.
But believe me, we listen, we care. That's why we're here.
Did you see the guy, did you see Jerry down the hall at a PS3 in his office?
I didn't.
I was playing with it. It's I like that. It's really crisp, the on-screen.
The what?
The UI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I
got confused with it, though.
I think it's just a style thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's better or worse. I look at it, it's kind of like, nah.
Yeah.
I didn't really enjoy it on my PSP. I don't really. Don't have a PSP.
That's right. You know, you lent me. Remember that when I went to Tokyo? It was 2 years ago. I think it was two years ago.
I think it was 2 years ago. You
my first trip. I said, "Hey, can I borrow your Nintendo DS?" You said, "Over my dead body." And then you threw the PSP at me and said, "No, you can take this." I'm like, "Okay, fine." So I borrowed it and I had like two or three games with it. And literally, I somewhere over the Pacific Ocean on my way over there, I just got bored with it. I didn't find any games. There weren't any good games out at that point. I'm sure there are now.
I have not used it in forever. Right. If it wasn't for the fact that I like collect these things, I would have gotten rid of it a long time ago. Right. I just don't use it. My DS Lite goes all sorts of places with me.
Anyway, so that's the PSP story. I don't know if I have anything else.
We're entering the time of the year where we're starting to work on a lot of things that we can't talk about yet.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to have a show next week. I'll be going down to L.A. for a Halo event.
Oh, yes. That's going to be cool.
So I'll be down there. I know Frankie's been blogging about that and posting about that. I will be going down for a Halo event. Me and the Video Monkeys will be shooting some videos. I'm going to try to get those guys on next week. I can see if I can get Frankie on next week or the week after to talk about the beta.
There's a lot to talk about, and they're the guys who know what they're allowed to say. And
yeah. God knows what we would know. We certainly don't know what to say, so we don't say anything.
I'll say one thing. Awesome. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah. So, I mean, your listeners know I'm a big Halo 2 fan. I still play it a lot.
Yep.
It's very Halo-y. It's got that, you know, nice Halo goodness to it, but better. It goes up to 11 now.
It does. Hey, you know what's? I forgot to mention in the main show is some of the things around Video Marketplace. I know we talked about Video Marketplace issues.
Right.
But if you're in the United States and you have Video Marketplace, we added a couple of new HD films this week. We added Horror Fest double feature, which is Unrest and Plenty Dreadful, and The Italian Job, which looks great in HD.
What
is the name of that girl in there?
Charlize Theron.
That's right.
Yeah, Charlize.
You know the other girl is really good in HD. She reminded me of the girl. What was her name?
Wild Thing.
No, the one I met in when I went to Hawaii that I got my photo taken with her.
Oh, right. God. I remember, and your wife was not happy about
yeah,
that.
What was her name? Anyway, I'll have to share it next week.
It wasn't Brooke Burke, was it?
No, it wasn't Brooke Burke.
But it was someone like that.
Yeah, and I got my picture taken with her. She's a very beautiful young lady.
Yes, she was.
Very attractive, scantily clad young lady. Anyway, so let's see what else we have. Some Babylon 5.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Cool.
Season 3 of Babylon 5, the current season, which is season 2 of the Gene Simmons Family Jewels, which I know you're excited about. Run's House, Human Giant, and 3 free Wolf Mother music videos.
Okay, I'm going to confess that I'm not cool. I don't know who that is.
And okay. And then Deep Sea HD is supposed to be up as well. I think it should be up
what
by the time
that?
We play it.
Deep Sea
HD? I think it's like an IMAX film.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we're going to have an IMAX film in HD.
Okay, that I'll check out.
All right, so that's
absolutely.
That's most interesting. So, all right, so that's all. That's all we have for this week. E may be back next week, or actually, I don't know if I'm going to do a show next week. I haven't decided yet.
I think you should do a show next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. There's a lot going on.
We'll see. You know what was funny was the interview with
Pac-Man guy?
Yeah, the Pac-Man guy where he was talking about how, you know, he doesn't really go out to the internet and read a bunch of forums and blogs, and he said how they were, like, saying bad things about him before they even knew him. Yep, dude. Welcome to my world.
It's, yeah.
So.
The number of times I you know, hop into a game of Halo 2 and you're in that part of the where you're past the pregame lobby, but the game hasn't quite started yet. You know, mode 3, and it's searching for players. And you're like, E, that must be for Ecstasy. It's like, no.
Really? You still get that?
Yes. And I still get what's that thing over your head and every other annoying permutation you can think of.
Did they fix that in the Halo 3?
They did.
I guess.
Halo 3 does not have that issue, yes.
Good.
I will no longer be at such a disadvantage to
snipers. And we can't tell you why, but that's all. We'll leave it at that.
Yes. Thank you, Bungie.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.